Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow's sermon today is a continuation of Tuesday's sermon from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. John the Baptist was a faithful servant of the Lord who recognized the close of his ministry when the Savior, the Christ, had come. But his disciples were concerned about his waning position and how the crowds were now thronging Jesus. This they were doing rightfully so. Let's listen and learn.
And them down here with the rest of us, sinners who fall short of the glory of God. If that offends you, that revealing you have some major spiritual problems, some major spiritual flaws, some serious spiritual pathology and disease. And maybe you don't really believe what the Bible says about the person and work of Jesus. If you're offended when we say he must increase and you must decrease and everybody else must decrease. And I say this because these disciples of John the Baptist no doubt claim to know the God John the Baptist proclaimed. They knew what his testimony was about Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They knew that testimony from John about Jesus, yet they're jealous that his ministry is doing better than ours. And they even now call him that man. This was a clear indicator that these men had a problem that needed to be addressed directly. And as we shall begin to see in the next verse, John the Baptizer did not hold back in setting them straight in the truth about his place in comparison to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Verse 27, John answered and said, stop right there. He answered and said, we need to understand before we hear what John said, we need to understand why what John had to say was so significant. The text says, John answered and said, we need to understand why what John said was so significant. Why do we need to stop and listen in particular when John the Baptist talks about Jesus? We need to understand why what John had to say about Jesus really is kind of more important than what anybody else had to say. You see, beloved, what makes John's words concerning Jesus so significant is what Jesus had to say about John. Are you with me today? What makes what John says about Jesus so significant is what Jesus said about him. What makes Jesus' testimony, John's testimony about Jesus so great is Jesus' testimony about John.
Teach us.
Then you can see why when John talks about Jesus, we need to stop and take heed. This is the fact that Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest man born of women. Amen. And Jesus said there was never one born of women greater than John. Luke 7:28, Jesus says, I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. What Jesus is saying in this text was, among all born under the old covenant, including Moses, Elijah, Eliza, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Micaiah, I go on and on, Amos, Zechariah, Malachi, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel in the lion's den. Jesus says, among those born of women, he said, get this straight. There's nobody greater than John. I could say a lot about that because, you know, John never worked one miracle. He never worked a miracle. All he did was preach. And the Lord said among those born of women, there's nobody greater than John. He never worked a miracle, never walked on water, never raised anybody from the dead, never took two fish and a few loaves and fed the multitudes, never did all that. But yet Jesus says, among those born of women, there's nobody greater than John. It's also curious to me that Jesus did not say, there is not born among women one greater than John, but there's somebody on the way. And they're going to be something else. And they're going to make John look like a spiritual doormat. He didn't say that. He makes a definitive statement. Because he even calls John, he says he's a prophet, but he's more than that. It makes sense to me that we need to listen very closely to a person who Jesus says there is none greater among those born of women. It makes sense if Jesus says there's nobody greater than him. It makes sense to me now that we need to stop and listen to what this man has to say. Now, if you claim to know Jesus as your Savior and this doesn't make any sense to you, I can't help you. I don't think it's possible to have a rational conversation with you. Jesus says, greatest man born of women, John Baptist. John speaks. You need to listen. Because the Lord said, among women, born of women, that nobody greater than John. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So what does John have to say? Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. John the Baptist, the greatest man born of women, according to Jesus, said in this verse, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. What John is saying is what a person has to say about spiritual things is worthless unless it has been sovereignly given to him from heaven or from God. What he's saying is, unless what you are going to say or do comes from heaven, it is nothing. Because a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. And the last time I checked, heaven is where God is. Amen. Therefore, what John has to say about the most spiritual subject one can speak on, and that's Jesus. It was given to him from heaven or from God. Application of this today, very simple. John was the greatest man born of women according to Jesus. And he clearly states what one does and says in regard to spiritual things, unless it's from heaven or from God, is worthless, is meaningless. Why? Because he says a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven or from God. Great men of God only speak and minister spiritual things which have been given to them from heaven or from God. John, greatest man born of woman, says, unless a man receives it from heaven, he can receive nothing. Now, we know for a fact what John received and ministered was given to him from heaven because Jesus said it was. Matthew 11, 7 through 10. As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go to see? A prophet? Yes, and I tell you more. Yes, I tell you. And the one who is more than a prophet. The Lord goes on to say, this is the one whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Notice closely how Jesus verified John because of what was written in the scripture. Because he quotes Malachi 3:1. He says, this is the one about whom it is written. That's Malachi 3:1. So he verifies John, what he does is from heaven, by he verifies it by the scripture. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Based on this, I say the only way to discern if one is great in the kingdom of God is if what he ministers and speaks is from heaven or from God. And the only way to discern is from heaven or from God is if they are words verified by the scriptures or better. What he preaches and teaches, it is the scripture. The word of God handled accurately, rightly divided, or as it reads in the Greek language, the word of God cut down a straight line. Anything contrary to this indicates the opposite. Or the scriptural fact that they are not great in the kingdom of God, but they're really worthless. For if a man ministers and teaches things other than what he has revealed to be the truth in the word of God, it is meaningless, it is worthless, it is a spiritual zero, it is a complete waste of their time and everybody else's time who is listening to them and looking at their spiritual foolishness and their shenanigans. Now, that was a Deacon Donald word. He said, don't get carried away with this. You know, that was his word, shenanigans. So I had to look it up. It says it's something that's deceitful, underhanded, and at best questionable. Keep telling. There was a lot more to Donald than you. There's a lot more to him than you. You know, y'all didn't. I knew him. Y'all didn't really get to. We sat back. There's a lot. Donald had. He could. He was a good thinker. He didn't say much, but he could put it together. And he would get with me. I can't preach Donald's eulogy again, amen. He'd give me that roll of the eye. And I knew he was fixing to say something profound. But he shenanigans. If a man is giving you the fantasies of his own mind instead of the word of God, and he is conducting his ministry contrary to what the scriptures dictate on Sunday morning. If I get up here on Sunday morning acting a fool, you'd be better off staying home and watching Meet the Press or some other Sunday morning news program. See, if a man operates like this instead of in the mode of John the Baptist, the one who said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him in heaven, they are not great, but they are spiritually insignificant. No matter the size of their congregation, they so-called pastor could be a small church, medium church, large church, mega church, don't make no difference. If what you're saying is not from God, what you have to say adds up to zero, amen. No matter how much they huck and buck. No matter how much they can make the sisters huck and buck, no matter how much they can make folks fall out on the floor like they got clubbed by Rocky Marciano or whacked in the head by an axe handle, amen. If they're not giving you the word of God, you are getting nothing from them spiritually significant, amen. The word of God has been forever set on heaven. That's what God says. He says he's elevated his word above his very name. Jesus said, heaven and earth pass away, but my words, they'll never fail you. Jesus said, the scripture cannot be broken. All scripture is inspired by God, breathed out by God, and profitable. If you're not getting that on Sunday morning, you're getting nothing. Amen. You don't need to hear what I think. You don't need to hear about some dream that was induced by a meatball sandwich. You know, you eat certain things. You understand what you lie dream about. You don't need to hear that stuff. You need to hear from God. On Sunday morning, you need to hear from heaven. Amen. Because unless you're hearing from heaven on Sunday morning, the rest of the week going to be hard. Amen. So at least one day from a week, you need to hear from God. You need to hear from heaven. And the only way I know how to do it is give you this book, this word of God. Why? Because John says a man can receive nothing unless it is given him from heaven. Now that's what the greatest man born of woman, according to Jesus, said. I believe him, amen. More than somebody else. 28. He says, you yourselves are my witness that I said I am not the Christ. John, the greatest man born of woman, according to Jesus, he says, you heard me say it before. You're my witnesses. I am not the Christ. John's disciples were ticked off and jealous because Jesus was drawing more to followers than John. And as a result, you know, they come and tell John, hey, that guy, he winning more than you. You know, the one beyond the Jordan. You baptize him. And now he out doing you. What you got to say about that, John? John says, you know what? I've told you this before. Let me tell you it again. I am not the Christ. John deliberately subjugates himself to Jesus by saying, I'm not the Christ. I'm not Jesus. In a subtle way, he's trying to tell them, I'm not the Christ. Therefore, you follow him. With very little to no respect at all. Did you hear what I just said? I said with very little to no respect at all. Many of the so-called great spiritual leaders in the church, so-called church world today, or the world of religion, they never go where John went in this verse and tell those who are following them who have made idols out of them, I'm not the Christ. I'm not Jesus. And therefore, you need to take your eyes off of me and get them centered on Jesus and never take your eyes off of him. Amen. I don't hear anybody going there today. Instead of sincerely confessing they're not the Christ, they are flattered by the praise of people. You know, people often come up to me, good message, Pastor, and I know I act like I don't believe what you got to say. But that's not true. I just don't want to get carried away with the flatteries of men. I don't want to start believing any press clipping someone may have out there of me. And I told y'all, you know, all of these messages are on the website. I very seldom listen to any because I don't like to hear me preach. Because I think I preach horrible. And I teach horrible. That's what I'm hearing. But I think God has it that way to make me stay at it. And to do better. I don't want to get carried away with the flattery of men. They're flattered by the praise of people. Can I have permission to say what I'm about to say? They are flattered by the praise of people, which for the most part consists of weak women, weighed down with sins and led on by various impulses. As Paul says, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3, 6-7. I'm not impressed with a woman trying to get up in my face. Matter of fact, you need to back off. Amen. You're too close to me. That's why I tell them, my wife ain't home, I'll meet you at the porch, the front porch. It's cold outside, I can't help it. Passes like 20 below with the wind chill. Come another day. Amen. So it's kind of like home. See, some men are flattered by that stuff. They're encouraging those who follow them. You need to buy my anointed books, buy my anointed CDs, my anointed DVD. You need to get this anointed prayer cloth. They're encouraging those who are following them. You need to get my spirit. If you get another guy's spirit, it's probably a demon. Amen. I'm just keeping it real, man, because you don't need my spirit. I'm telling you right now. You do not need David Kendall's spirit. Amen. Because you'll be messed up. If you get my spirit, you'll be out in 10 degrees in the woods waiting for a deer. You don't want my spirit. Amen. I told Pastor Mib one day, we the only knuckleheads out here. It was cold. We both had water. You know, we go out in the woods prepared. Deer hunters, mighty deer. And we had water, supplies. We both went to take a drink of water. And it was so cold, the water in the bottle was froze. And I looked at Pastor and said, man, what are we doing? is this not insane? Amen. And then he said, I know it was cold because you was up walking. Amen. You don't want my spirit. Because you'll be saying stuff don't make no sense sometimes. And you'll have folks scratching their head when they hear you. Like my wife and my daughter do me all the time. Amen. And my daughter is telling me, Dad, you're off. She be getting her psychologist. What's wrong with you, Dad? You need to go to sleep, you know, or something like that. So you don't need to get my spirit. What you need to do is subjugate yourself to the Holy Spirit. Amen. In order that you may grow from glory to glory into the very image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'm almost through. 28. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent ahead of him. John said, I'm not Jesus, but I just came ahead of him. See, John came to lay the way for people to receive Jesus. His ministry was not to prop up himself, but to lay the foundation in order that men would receive the Messiah of Israel, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Mark 1:1-4 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Then it says, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance. And he's dressed in camel hair clothing. That was not custom made stuff. Amen. That was some meth he got off somebody, and then some nomads in the desert. Amen. Eating wild locusts, grasshoppers, and honey. Now you know we wouldn't invite him to preach in our church. You saw a man walking down the street eating out a bottle of grasshoppers. Would you invite him in to preach? Amen. Looking wild. Out in the wilderness crying out, make his path straight. Make ready the way of the Lord. The Messiah's coming. I baptize in water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's one coming after me that's greater than me because he is before me. I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoelaces. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And he eats grasshoppers. We wouldn't let him preach. Amen. We'd be trying to get him some medication. Amen. But he said, I've come to prepare the way of the Lord. Those who are great in the Lord are like the greatest man born of women, John. They without exception seek to prepare the way for people to receive Jesus by what they preach and what they teach. If I can't push you to Jesus, I'm not doing anything for you. If I can't lay the way for you to see there's nobody like Jesus, my ministry is worthless. If I can't lay the way and lay the foundation that for you to see that he's the only one that can save you from your sins, I haven't done anything. They sung a song that it's a question. Well, I'll look to the hills for my help. No, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. That's Jesus. If I can't push you to that, I haven't done much. The greatest man born of woman, what he sought to do was push people to Jesus. If a man of God is great, he'll turn you to Jesus and tell you, take your eyes off of me. And when you see me start to stray from Jesus, then it's time for you to stray and not look back. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, when I stop doing that, you know, walk out and don't look back. If I can't get you to that point, I've done nothing. Amen? 29, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. The bride is Jesus. And he says, the bride is us. The bridegroom is Jesus. He said, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. So we're the bride. He's the bridegroom. He has us. John says, but the friend of the bridegroom. John says, I'm just a friend of Jesus. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears and rejoices great because of the bridegroom's voice. Does the preacher love to hear Jesus? Does the preacher love to preach about Jesus? Does he love to lift him up? Does he just love to talk about how he walked on that water? How he raised the dead? Does he like to talk about how, you know, they crucified him and the blood oozed out of his body, but death, it just could not keep him down. Amen. Does he love to talk about he stepped on that cloud and the cloud received him out of his sight, but the two angels said, hey, don't marvel, this same Jesus shall come. And does he like to talk about this God man named Jesus? John says, I'm just a friend of the bridegroom, and my joy has been made full just by hearing his voice. I hope the preacher's excited about Jesus. Amen. Then he simply says, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He must increase, but I must decrease. John's disciples were jealous that more now were following Jesus than he. John informs them, this is the way it must be. He must increase. I must decrease. It is a divine must that all of us get out the way. And let's push Jesus. He must increase. We must decrease. Some of y'all are asking me, why don't you like to see, I'm to the point, I dress very casual in the pulpit because I don't want y'all, ooh, he look, no, I want you to have your mind on Jesus, amen. Now, I want to look nice now, amen. And Sister Kendall going to see to that because she checks me out every time I leave the house, amen. To make sure I'm not embarrassing. 328 Eastwood, amen. Let me see what you got on. She done got my daughter messed up. She be checking me out. Turn around, Dad. Let me see these socks. And you know, I want to look good, but I don't want the center of attraction to be on me. I don't want to be before you with glitter and flash and gold. I don't need to be flashing rings before you, amen. Except that one right there on the ring finger on left hand, amen. Because I must decrease. And he must increase. Amen. I need to let you know, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Amen. Can't nobody do for you like Jesus can do for you. Amen. He can save your soul. Amen. And when you get down and out, the psalmist said he restores my soul. He'll walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He'll make it to where you can, you'll fear no evil, for you know he's with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. Amen. He'll make your cup runneth over. He'll let you know goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He'll let you know I'm with you to the very end of the age. He'll let you know why you're going through. Don't think you're in this by yourself. I'm right here, and I'm not beside you. I'm not behind you. I'm in front of you, and I'm leading you all the way. Amen. He'll let you know if you get too weak, I'll pick you up, and I'll carry you. Remember Peter said, Lord, if that's you, let me walk on the water too. Y'all missed it. And Lord said, it's me. Peter gets out the boat walking. He starts to sing. Y'all missed it. The Bible says Jesus picked him up. He like us. Peter was walking on the water till he looked around and saw the waves. That's like the waves of life. Oh, Jesus. And he started to sink. Y'all missed that. Jesus didn't scold him, say, you lack of faith, you. He picked him up, put him on his shoulders, continued to walk on the water, put him back in the boot, in the boat. Amen. Now, I can't do that for you, but Jesus can. I must decrease. He must increase. Let's pray. Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. If you would like to know more about the ministry, visit wogcchurch.org. If you live in the area, join us on Sunday morning to hear sound expository Bible teaching. May the Lord richly bless you as you study His Word.